of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. This is a prophetic word. You know, we will be going to Israel next week, next Wednesday. We'll be leaving. We covet your prayers. And God has specifically designated this message. As a bishop, I'll get more into it in terms of that. But I want to talk to you tonight about how to detect the wolf. How to detect the wolf. From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets. False prophets start off as false people, which come to you, say they come to you, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are, now watch this, ravening wolves. And that word ravening carries the connotation of greedy, who prey on others. Ravening wolves. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. Verse 15, lift up your voice and declare the word of the Lord with me. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. And all God's people said amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Give three people a high five. Come on, tell them it's all about him. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We welcome you to It's All About Him telecast. What a joy and delight it is. We are delighted and excited to be able to come to you wherever you're viewing this telecast all over the world. You know, there's no way I'm going to finish this message. And this is our midweek service. If you are looking in terms of the church and say, is he in another church? We have one church, two locations. We're in the other location. And this is our midweek service. And tonight, I want to teach a prophetic word dealing with how to detect wolves. How to detect wolves. That number on your screen, you pick that up now because you're going to need this. If you are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, bishop, elder, deacon, member, you're going to need to hear this message in its entirety. How to detect wolves. You know, the average member of the average church had never even heard a message on a wolf. And yet Jesus said, beware. Jesus said that this is a dangerous proposition or a situation in terms of wolves. Now, I have a reason for teaching this. First and foremost, because God has released the bishopric upon me. And the bishop's ministry, watch this. Watch the job of a wolf. The job of a wolf, it is to separate the sheep from the shepherd and the sheepfold. We're going to develop that. It's to separate the sheep from the shepherd and the sheepfold. The job of the shepherd is to gather the flock or to gather the sheep together. A shepherd is gathering while the wolf is scattering. The bishop is assembling. And the reason why oftentimes in the average church we have people who are scattered, dislocated, and fractured. And we have people who are battered, bruised, and broken. We have people that are beaten, busted, and bleeding. And all of this is because, part and partial, because we don't understand what a wolf is. Let me just start off by saying, you know, how do we detect the wolf, Bishop? So you got to detect it. It's called discernment. Because what does a wolf look like? Just take a moment and look at your neighbor. Go ahead and tell him. Say, yes, a wolf looks like me. Go ahead and tell that person. See, what does a wolf look like? See, you're not, the wolf ain't going to come in here with some type of boogeyman clothes on. The wolf looks innocent. Hello. Non-threatening. But the wolf looks just like that person next to you. Or better still, the wolf looks like the person in your seat. Because it says that the wolf is a false prophet, start off as false people. I'm going to show you two types of the wolf tonight, but they come in sheep's clothing. The second question would be, where do you find wolves? Well, the scripture I just read, it says that they come to you. Because sheep don't look for wolves. Wolves look for sheep. So where do you find a wolf? You don't find the wolf outside of the church. You find a wolf wherever you find sheep. And this is the whole plot, plan, and ploy of the enemy, is to draw sheep out of the sheepfold in some type of situation where they're separated from a shepherd so that the wolf can catch the sheep. That's why God gave shepherds. My grandsugar, I didn't think I was going to throw this in, but yesterday we had a marvelous Bible study, and we're studying the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm. And we started off with just the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I said, what do you think that means? She said, well, Jesus is our shepherd. Yeah, but how does that relate to us? If he's the shepherd, what does that make us? She said, sheep. I said, yeah, that's right. It makes us sheep. And sheep, according to what we understand of God's creation and creative order, happens to be, if not the dumbest, one of the dumbest animals God has ever made. See, you can have a dog and the dog doesn't need, no, listen, a dog doesn't need a master in order to survive. A cat doesn't need a master in order to survive. They can find their own food. They can make it. Alley cats, so forth and so on. You know, I mean, the beasts of the jungle, they don't need nothing and no one in order to survive. But a sheep got to have a shepherd. They got to have a shepherd. Hello, because you can't drive them, you must lead them. And so what I'm talking to you about tonight, I have a purpose for that, and I want to get right down to it in just a moment. Let me say, I don't use my pulpit as a bully pulpit to bully someone. If I got something to say to somebody, I've been doing this for 30 years, I'll come to you personally face to face. And we're going to deal with this, but I'll come to you personally face to face. I never reprimand a learner. After you have demonstrated you understand what it is that God is saying, I don't reprimand the learner. I deal with those who quote and unquote say they know it. Because I'm going to show you, watch this now, in every flock also you have not only wolves, but you have goats. And you have heard, have you not heard of the Judas goat? Hello? And the reason why, we'll get into that, but the reason why the farmers would use, or the sheep herders would use, a Judas goat, because if you did not have a lead sheep, see, sheep must be led, then they would use the goat, and the goat would walk around the sheep, and the goat would lead the sheep to the slaughter. Hello? And the sheep would just come up, bad, bad. The goat would go in one side, the sheep would follow the goat in, and the goat would go out the other side, and they would slaughter the sheep. And it's called the Judas goat because it's like Judas that led Jesus to the slaughter. That's why it's called the Judas goat. Hello. And even a wolf likes a goat because a goat will lead the sheep astray so that the wolf can capture the sheep and prey on the sheep. So what we want to talk about tonight, I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Let's go there. I'm going to give you a whole lot of scriptures, my brothers and sisters, because see, without the bishop's mantle in ministry, I'm saying Ezekiel 43, please turn there. There's going to be a lot of scriptures, and you're going to need somebody to help you get there if you're not familiar with your Bible and if you don't know how to go to the table of content. Because see, the shepherd's mantle is to gather the sheep. But the wolf comes into a flock to scatter the sheep, to separate the sheep from the shepherd and the sheepfold. Now, the bishop's job is to bring about the assembly of the church. Have you ever wondered why a church can start and for the first 3 to 5 years, all of a sudden there's a church split? Because a wolf has entered in and split the church. Hello? And without a bishop that has insight for oversight, see, the bishop's mantle is to bring about the assembly. For example, In the average church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, you have what is called the gathering of the flock. Yes. See, we just gather together, but that's far from being assembled together. And if the church is not assembled, then those who are, if you would, separated, fractured, dislocated, they are a prey for the wolf. Yes. Now, let me show you something, because, see, without this, If a person, Pastor Baker, if a person that's a sheep never heard the message of wolves, then they wouldn't know what to beware of. They're looking for somebody to come in. Oh, I can tell. Oh, that's a wolf. No, the wolf is somebody that you won't even be able to detect from the standpoint of being able to look at them while they're in sheep's clothing. You have to discern them, and you have to be able to tell them by their fruit. Hello. And a wolf, anybody, let me say this, anybody that's in the body of Christ, the family of God, anybody is subject to contracting a wolf spirit. Anybody is subject to contracting a wolf spirit. Now, you better listen to me, because I'm telling you, listen, if this is a legitimate church, and we got legitimate sheep, you better listen to me, because you get, in other words, you'll have wolves. Yes. And I got to tell you what a wolf looked like. And again, listen, I have already gone to some people, and I'm going to deal with it in just a moment. But I listen, I don't play this. I didn't got time to play this, because God holds me accountable and responsible. And this is real business. This is dangerous. Are you hearing me? And see, anybody can be subject to a wolf spirit. Don't tell me that is not so. Jesus said, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus said, whom do men say I am? Well, they say you, everybody. They say you, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, anybody and everybody. He said, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was legitimized by that statement and confession. And yet and still, he turns right back around and rebukes the Lord. And the Lord began to tell them how he was going to go up to Jerusalem and be sacrificed and die for our sins. And what did Peter say? It says that Peter rebuked the Lord. In other words, the tail is trying to wag the dog. Hello? And Jesus, what did he say to Peter? This wasn't the next day. This was in the same conversation. Get thee behind me, Satan. That was one of his, that was his right hand man. He said, you got the devil in you. That quick, the devil got in him. Hello. What does a wolf look like? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about a wolf looks like me. Go ahead. Just, yeah. I didn't say you was a wolf. I said he looks like you. A wolf looked like me. A wolf looks like me. Hello. Now, here's another verse of scripture, brother. This was in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 70. Jesus talking to his disciples, and then he finally bust the move on them and said, listen, I chose all 12 of you. And when I chose you, he said, one of you is a devil. He said, I chose a devil and put him on my staff. Why? Because he knew in the day and time. See, he's our example. He knew in the day and time that we're living in, you will have devils on the staff. He said, I chose you and I already knew. Now, the pastors today, we can choose somebody and don't know. Jesus said, I chose you and I knew you was already a devil. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. Listen, Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31. Write it down. Glory to God. This is what Jesus said to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. That's every one of us. Jesus is saying to us what he said to Peter. Satan's desire is to have you, mother. He said, Peter, Satan's desire is to have you and sift you as wheat. See, God will shake us, and anything that can fall after God shake it is because God did not establish it. God shakes us. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, but God is the one that shakes us. Satan is the one that sifts us. See, God doesn't sift us. God shakes us. Satan sifts us so he can fleece us, so that all that's left of us is a shell. Man, I'm preaching much better than y'all looking right now. But this is a prophetic, Mickey, this is a prophetic message. How to detect the wolf. Sheep don't look for wolves. Wolves look for sheep. It says that the wolf comes to you. The wolf comes to you. You don't just slide over there. The wolf comes to you. Join me. To pull you out of the flock. Now watch this. Are you in the book of Ezekiel?
Yes,
all right. I got to move fast. Man, this is good. I'm glad you came tonight. I'm glad you're watching this telecast. Somebody said, man, I'm glad too. I know I'm glad that you're watching this telecast. This is Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. Now, this is where the bishopric comes in. See, this is what a bishop's job is right here. It's 43 verse 10. Thou son of man. Do you see it? Here's the bishop's job. Show the house to the house of Israel. Say it. Show the house to the house. See, the bishop's job is show the house to the house. Show the house what? To the house. See, the bishop's job is to show the house to the house. We are the house. He says, then show it. Then show the house to the house. Now watch this now. Show the house to the house of Israel that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. And let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all they have done, then show them, here it is, Pastor Valerie, the form of the house and the fashions thereof. I'm going to show you in just a moment that. Show them the form of the house and the fashions thereof. Oh, I don't come to me with no form and fashion. That's what's wrong with the house. See, because the form of a man, Pastor Catherine was saying tonight, the son of a man, the form of a man is a man. I don't care if a woman's hair is as bald as yours, Al, or as bald as mine. I can tell a woman a mile away. And I'm not being perverted. I can tell that's a woman by her shape, by her form. Hello. And there are some folk, yeah, that they're wearing disguise. But the moment that oftentimes, Brother Willis, that we shake their hands, I don't care. Listen, we can tell that's a man. And I just saw, listen, Lewis, I just saw some good looking men. I mean, listen, they can fool you for a while, but the moment that they, listen, the moment they open that mouth and drop that bass on you, hey, man, what's, man, shh. Show the house to the house. Show the form of the house and the fashions thereof, meaning the house need to look like the house. Hello. Show the pastor to the pastor. Show the elder to the elder. Show the deacon to the deacon. Show the member to the member. And once a person say, listen, once a person say, God has called me as a pastor, and watch this now, and I'm doing some type of Bible study, then you don't need to be in that flock. You don't need to be in that flock. Not if you're a shepherd, and not if you're trying to shepherd. Hello.
Yes, sir.
You don't need to be in the flock, not if you're a shepherd. You separate yourself from that, and you don't take nobody from that flock. Now, if you're not a shepherd, see, if you're not a shepherd, keep the sheep in the fold. I'm going to deal with it in just a moment. It's going to get real hot up in here. Go ahead and buckle your seats. I don't want nobody getting out of here. Go ahead and buckle your seats. I install some seat belts for this message. He says, son of man, show the house to the what? House of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all they have done, show them the form of the house. Do you see it? And the fashions thereof. Now notice this, and the goings out, I'm going to show you, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof. This is the law of the house. God has a law for his house. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. This is the function of the bishop, is to show the house to the house, to teach us how to detect the wolf. Go in your Bible to the book of Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, please. Go there. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. Show the house, what is it? To the house. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. And notice what he says. Take ye heed, verse 13:33. Once you're there, say, mm-hmm. See, because once a wolf's, I don't care if the wolf got sheep's clothing on, once the wolf start talking, you know it's a wolf. Because I'm going to show you they're speaking contrary to sound doctrine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So wolf don't sound like a sheep. He can put on sheep's clothing. Hello. So he says, take heed. Now, this is Jesus. It's all about him. Jesus is the great shepherd, chief shepherd, and he's the good shepherd. Hello. It's all about him. And Jesus has assigned the fivefold ministry, and then he's given bishops to keep the church assembled, not just gathered together, but assembled together by showing the house to the house. So that the house would know what the house supposed to look like. So the house would know what the pastor's supposed to look like. Elder's supposed to look like. Deacon's supposed to look like. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher's supposed to look like. All of those, we need to know what they're supposed to look like. But then what about a wolf? If you never had, listen, this would be my third time out of 30 years dealing with the wolf. And I got an entire series on it. So maybe we'll go back in the canyon of our library, Elder, and pull that out. I got a whole series on it, but I'm just going to give it to you in one message right here. But see, you need to know the same way you know what a pastor looked like. You need to know what a wolf looked like. Because see, you can accept someone and don't even know that they got wolf traits or that's a wolf spirit. You don't even know it. Hello. Man, I'm glad I'm here tonight. See, and one thing, now let me go ahead and read it first. Take heed, take ye heed. That's what Jesus says. Take ye heed, watch and pray. Say it. Take ye heed, watch and pray. I'm going to show you what you ought to be watching for. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. He's referring to himself. Jesus took a far journey, who left his house, whose house we are, Hebrews chapter 3, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, watch it, and commanded the porter to watch. Say it. Commanded the porter to watch. Now see, this is the porter's ministry I'm introducing to some of you right now. If you've been a member of this church for any length of time, you are acquainted with the porter's ministry. How many of you never even heard of that, the porter's ministry? Let me see your hands. Wave it at me. Come on, be honest. Yeah. See, this is for the whole church. You need to know you are a porter, and he's commanded the porter to watch. Verse 34, once again. Lift up your voice and declare with me. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. He commanded the porter to watch. All right. Then he says in verse 35, watch. That's the third time he says it. Do you think he's trying to tell us to be awake? To be aware so that we can avoid? See, you have to be awake to be aware so that you can avoid. Say it. Awake, aware, avoid. Then he says in verse 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now here it is. He's commanded the porter to what?
Watch.
He's commanded the porter to?
Watch.
He's commanded the porter to?
Watch.
Verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So every one of us are porters. Now, I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of John's Gospel. Go there, John's Gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. He's commanded the porter to watch. He's commanded the porter to watch. Now, I want to give you references, and I want to tell you where the porter is. But once you find John chapter 10, get there, John chapter 10. Verse 1, we'll start there. John chapter 10. Write these verses down, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 17. As a matter of fact, let's go there. Let's just take a few moments because even though I'm on time, but I want to make sure that you get it. Let's go there. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Not Corinthians, but Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Was that funny? All right. I want to try to keep your humor up because it's easy to be entreated. This is a prophetic word. It's a warning word. It's a serious word for us to be sober because as Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan desire is to have you. And anybody can contract a wolf spirit the same way you can contract a cold. Hello. Or take somebody to sneeze upon you or whatever have we. Shake your hand and all kinds of stuff now. And then you can end up with the cold. I claim my immunity. Now, I still do all the other things in terms of washing hands and all that. But I claim my immunity. You know, even when the AIDS virus first came out and everything, everybody was shook up and scared and all of this kind of stuff. People need the love of God, the life of God, and the light of God. And I was able to, you know, I just never was afraid of that. Praise the Lord, because people need Christ. And I believe in the scriptures, and Jesus said you can claim your immunity. You can tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he said nothing shall hurt you. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Then somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to look at this in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 17. Are you there? I just want you to see it in the Old Testament. Look my way for a moment. Because if it's sound doctrine, say sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine.
If we find it in the New Testament, if it's sound doctrine, then you trace its root canal back in the Old. In other words, you don't just start something there. No, you trace it back in the Old Testament if it's sound doctrine. This is sound doctrine that I'm preaching unto you now. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 17. And the porters were. And then he gives us the litany of the names of who the porters were. Do you see it? Verse 21. And Zechariah, the son of Meshamiah, was porter of the what? Door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He was the porter of the door of the congregation, the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, what is a porter? A porter, number one, a porter is a doorkeeper and a porter is a watchman. David said in Psalms 84, David said, here is the king of Israel. And David said, I had rather be a what? Doorkeeper. Why? Because the porter, he, watch this, the porter, he crows and opens doors. In other words, the porter is the one that let things in and keep things out. David said, I know how to do that. Not just greet people, but keep things in or keep things out. So in verse 21, Zechariah, the son of Messiah, was porter of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Are you there?
Yes.
Drop down, please. Drop down, please, to verse 24. In four quarters were the porters. My goodness, this is awesome. Man, in four quarters were the porters, meaning the north, south, east, and west. They had to have the house of God covered. And I'll show you why. I said the four quarters were what? The porters. Say it, the four quarters were the porters. That was the north, south, east, and west. That the enemy could not get in. Are y'all listening to me? Okay, turn to 1 Chronicles 23 now. Let's go there since you're there. 23, quickly. Woo, glory to God. 1 Chronicles 23, 5. Let me show you how important the porter ministry is. Now, this is the bishop. They're showing the house to the house. And some of you never even heard of the porter ministry. Is it any wonder the gates of hell are prevailing against the church? And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. 1 Chronicles 23:5. Moreover, 4,000 were what? 4,000. 4,000. That's how important this is. There were 4,000. He said, I assigned them as porters. Look at chapter 26. Chapter 26. If you're interested in this teaching, call the ministry and we can bring the entire series to you. That includes those of you who are here. 1 Chronicles 26:1, concerning the divisions of the porters. Do you see it? See, there's the divisions. There's insight to what I'm saying. And if you're the porter, you're the porter of your own soul. You'll watch this. You're the porter of your own soul. You'll see. You're a porter of your own house. See, how does the devil get into a house? A house that's divided cannot stand. And the job of the wolf is always division. Remember, the job of the shepherd is to gather together. The job of the wolf is to separate husband from wives, families from one another. Why? Because if there's a division, then that house cannot stand. If there's a division, then that church cannot stand. He said, let me show you the division of the porters so that there is an assign. Your children need to know what I'm talking about. Get them on their knees. Get them on their knees. I'm going to bed, not before you get on your knees. They just dazzle, razzle around here. Posters all on your, listen, all on your walls in your house. You better know how to combat.
Yes, sir.
Get them on their knees. Get them on their face. Have your child ever been on his or her knees? Get them on their knees. But Bishop, suppose they don't believe. Something happens. Just get them down there. You know, when I was in the military, that's what they said to me, Deidre. They said, get on down there. Get on down there. Yeah, we had to do some push-ups. Get on down there. Get on down there. Before we go to bed tonight, we just going to get down on. Something happens on the inside when you can get them on their knees. Show the division of the poor. All right, look at verse 18. Oh, man, this is good. Verse 12, first. Among these were the divisions of the what? Even among the what? Chief men having wards one against another to minister in the house of the Lord. Some have never even read this. Verse 18. At Parbar, westward, 4 at the causeway and 2 at the Parbar. Captain, I'll let you go ahead and preach that later. Glory to God. But that's powerful. I mean, he says, man, at the Parbar, at the crossway. In other words, how things cross. He said, man, put the porter there. Put the porter there. Am I preaching over your head? And am I preaching over your head? Then lift up your head. Go back to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, let's dig this down. Let's get into this. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Are you there? Because now I want you to see, we're dealing with the porter. The porter is the watchman. The porter is the doorkeeper. Say it. The porter is the watchman. The porter is the... Now, if the porter is the watchman, what is he watching for? Write this down. The porter is watching for, number one, the coming of the Lord. We just read it over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13:33. The porter is to be watching for the coming of the Lord. What happened to that message? The Lord is coming soon. What happened to it? The Lord is infinitely more pleased in those of us who are looking for his coming the second time. And listen, you die before he comes. Than those who say he's not coming and he come before you die. No, we ought to be looking for the Lord's coming. If I'm looking for the Lord's coming, how can I be up in the bed committing adultery if I'm looking for His coming? If I'm looking for His coming, that cuts out a lot of this foolishness and madness. Meaning the Lord can come back right now. Right while you're in the motion of this activity, the Lord can come. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Look for the coming of the Lord. Look for the coming. Somebody put their hands together. Look for the coming of the Lord. Look for the coming of the Lord. He said, watch. What am I watching for? What am I watching for? For the coming of the Lord. Say it. For the coming of the Lord. Number two, what am I watching for? For the coming of the wolf. Not only the coming of the Lord, if the Lord don't come, listen, the wolf's going to come. Now you can count on that. To every one of us, you can count on that. The wolf will come. The scripture says in Matthew's gospel chapter 7, and the wolf comes to you. Grandson, he comes to you. The wolf comes to you, whether it's with drugs, whether it's with alcohol, whatever it is, you're going into the military, but there are wolves in the military. And they come to you like metal to a magnet. They're drawn. So what am I looking for? I'm looking for the Lord's coming. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. Watch this. I'm looking for the coming of the wolf, and I'm looking for the soul independence. What do you mean by that? Soul independence. Just keep that in mind. Soul independence. See, we're to be led by the Spirit, by our spirits, not by our soul. The soul wants its own independence. It's self. See, self want to do its own. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has no part in me. Why? Because what part is the, listen, the prince of this world is a reference to Satan. What part of me is Satan looking for? He's looking for the soul. He's looking for the part in me that's me. I said he's looking for the part in me that's me. Not the part that's him. That's Jesus, but the part that's me. How did that wolf get Eve and Adam? Because he showed Eve the fruit and said, it is something that's good for you. And she said, it is good to eat. It's good for, and it's something that's going to make you somebody. What about me? What about my ministry? That's the one I want. That's who I'm looking for. That's who I'm looking for. How people can have ministries. Listen, I don't care how large or how small a church is. We can have a litany of stuff. And yet and still, the same thing we have in somebody want to do it outside of what we're doing. In other words, Sunday school. We don't have Sunday school. In your church, they have Sunday school every week. So why do you need a Bible study at your house every week? And you won't even come to Sunday school. You don't participate with what's going on in the house. Why? I got to show the house. Why is it that you got to have something apart from what the church is doing? And if God's called. Now listen. If God called you to have a. If he's called you to have. A Bible study at your house. Without the pastor. Endorsing that Bible study with the members. In other words, what you ought to be doing, you see people say, oh, I want to reach the world. I want to reach the world. Well, there's a whole world to be reached. You don't have to take the church folk to do it. God's called. God want me to preach to the world. Well, then don't preach to the church members. You got a whole world out there. God, listen, if you got a legitimate ministry, if you got a legitimate ministry, we started this church and not one member from somebody else's church. We got out there and won souls, not shift members around. God's called me to have, he called me to preach and have a ministry. All of us got a ministry. And if you are real, if you're the real deal, like Holyfield, if you're the real deal, then what you can do, you can win people. You can, how did Jesus do it? Wait a minute. Jesus assigned John the Baptist. And when Jesus came on the scene, John already had disciples. But did Jesus say, now John, just go ahead and sit down. These are my disciples. No, Jesus, he came by John and James. He said, follow me. They weren't John's disciples. He came to Matthew, follow me. He came to people, follow me. He didn't go and say, John, all right, I got him now. John was the one that directed the disciples to follow Jesus. And John said, he must increase, I must decrease. Now, why didn't Jesus, it's all about him. Why didn't Jesus come and get John's disciples first? Because he's trying to show us legitimate ministry won't do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. They won't build on another man's foundation. They won't try to assign to them and do something outside of the church when you won't even participate with what's in the church. And the people, and I'm going to show you something. The people, I'm doing this for 30 years, mother. And the average person that does it are women. I'm not picking on the women. It's women. And I'm going to show you why. People, listen, I don't have time to play. Why do you think Paul, under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he called them, listen, I'm not calling you that, but Paul said, you silly women. You silly women. You let people creep into your house unaware. That's what he said. He said, you're not even aware a wolf has entered into your home. You're a bunch of silly women. If a ministry is legitimate, I'll show you right. Let me show you this. Can I help myself? Well, listen to what he says. Because see, that's the watchman. We look for the coming of the Lord, the coming of the wolf, and the coming of my soul independent. Now the doorkeeper. I'm going to show you, the doorkeeper is, he lets things in or he keeps things out. Now watch it. Do I have another 10 minutes? Is that what you're saying? All right, look at chapter 10. Are you there? Verily, verily, Jesus is teaching. I'm teaching. This is his church. I'm the bishop to keep the assembly. Don't get upset with me. The only one that's going to get upset with this is the wolf. You can throw a rock in the midst of a pack of dogs, and it's the one that barks is the one that got hit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door, he said, he that enter not by the door into the sheephole, but climb up some other way, the same two things is a thief and a robber. I said he come. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, what's that word? The porter what? Open it. How does the wolf get in? First of all, the wolf comes with sheep's clothing. Second of all, the porter lets him in. Third of all, they climb up some other way. As a thief and a robber. Do you see it? My goodness. As a thief and a robber. Now watch this. He says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he call his own sheep by name and lead them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before. See, the shepherd, he lead them out. If he's not leading them out, that's what the wolf is wanting. See, the thief, watch this. The thief, Dr. Button helped us years ago. Many of you were not here then when he preached it along this. The thief is kleptes. K-L-E-P-T-E-S. Kleptes. What does that sound like? Yeah. See, it's kleptes. It's someone who's pilfering. We use a different word, brother, because pilfering, they steal a little at a time. See, they don't just come in and wipe you out. They steal one. You don't even notice. Then they steal another. You'll notice they steal another. They just one at a time. They clip, kleptes. They just walk around picking up stuff. Are you hearing me? Yes, like they, see, they're clipping. They're clipping stuff. Now watch this. They steal us, he says, but not only that, Dr. Bunn, you helped me with this also. Not only are they klepties or thieves, he said they're thieves. He said, but also robbers. That's lesties. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Dr. Bunn, but lesties. L-E-S-T-E-S, lesties, which is robber. Meaning the difference between the thief and the robber. See, the thief, he's a stealer. But the robber, he's a killer. See, the robber was kill you. When he comes to get it, he ain't just clipping. He's killing. And this is why Jesus used, he said, now the thief come not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. He start off just clipping you one at a time. But he is a ravening wolf. So he's come not just to steal, he's going to clean you out. See, the shepherd don't charge you for preaching. It's called an offering. You come here, you get preached to, and we lift an offering. It's called a free will offering. It's whatever a man purpose in their heart to give.
Yes, sir.
But the robber, it's a stick up. I'm asking for a certain amount. I'm asking for what you got in you. See, when a person come to rob you, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. When they come to rob you, they don't say, you know, stick them up. And you say, well, listen, I got 300. Well, give me 100 of them. You keep the other two. Oh, stick them up. Well, listen, I'll give you two if you can let me have one. No, you're giving me all of it. And if you struggle with me, I'm going to kill you right now on the spot just for GP. In other words, I got a price tag on what I'm talking about. Man, this is getting hot in here. Don't let me take off my coat. It's getting hot. All right, now, drop all the way down to verse 4. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He goeth before them. And the sheep follow him. Why? So that the wolf can't get the sheep. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a what? Stranger. Come on. And they what?
Stranger.
See, that's a lotrios. A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-U-S. Look it up. That means that's a foreigner. See, stuff goes on in the house of God that's so foreign. It's like we're in a strange country here. Stuff are going on under the banner of Jesus, under the banner of his name. And we don't know the form of it, the fashion of it. He said the goings out, the comings in. How do we go out? How do we come in? He said, this is foreign, man. Drop down, please. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep. So that's what I'm doing right now. I could be criticized and say, well, man, this, that, and the other. I give my life. I'm the under shepherd for the sheep. And again, I say to you, I do not use this as a bully pulpit. If you've been with me for any length of time, you know that. I think very little of anybody that stands behind the pulpit and say something from behind the pulpit that they need to say to someone face to face. Don't use the pulpit of God to say what you want to say. I have a problem with any preacher that uses the pulpit as a bully pulpit to bully people. I believe if I need to say something to an individual, I go to the individual. Because see, I'm going to show you something. This is what I'm doing here. If I need to confront something, I'm going to confront it. And see, when somebody come to me with something, this is the way I operate. If somebody come to me with something, say, well, you know, I heard. Who said it?
Who said it?
If you can't say who said it, then get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. Because I believe in calling names. And if I say anything, if I say anything to you, you can say Bishop Holcomb said it. I ain't gonna come up on you, crew. Listen, I got something to tell you that just don't tell nobody. The heck with that. If I tell you something, you can tell somebody. Man, I want to tell you something. You know, we need to pray about this. And you never pray. It's a bunch of gossip. All right, now I'm showing you something. I hope you out there, as we say in TV land, are hearing this. Okay, listen to this. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, and the good shepherd give his life for the sheep. Watch this. But he that is a hireling. That means one that's just simply out to get paid. He that's a hireling and not the shepherd, who's owned the sheep or not, who's owned the sheep or not, seeth the wolf coming and he leave the sheep. You see the wolf coming and you won't sound the alarm. You won't say, this ain't right. This is not right. If I see the wolf coming, my responsibility is to expose it. That's why we end up with church splits. That's why we end up with people who are fractured, dislocated, who are separate from the shepherd and the fold, who are busted, bleeding all over the place. He seeth the wolf coming and leave the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catch them and do what? Scatter the sheep. The wolf catch them and scatter the sheep. Say it. The wolf catch them and scatter the sheep. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter. Go to Acts chapter 20. Two more scriptures and we close. Acts chapter 20. My God. Now you may have a wolf spirit, but you can get converted. You can get converted. See, and some of us, we don't even know that we have wolf traits. We didn't even know we was. See, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. In the seven churches of Asia Minor, he confronted the church and says, and he called it, listen, I'm not picking on you ladies, but he called it, he says, the spirit of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was in the Old Testament. What in the world she's doing up in here in the New Testament, in the new church? Because it's the spirit of Jezebel. It's the same spirit that operated in Jezebel. See, if it was a man, then it would be chorus company. See, chorus company. Who rose up against Moses. Who gathered his own company. And God opened up the earth and swallowed them all up and they all went to hell. That's in your Bible if you haven't torn it out. It's called chorus company. So a person, we're not immune from contracting these spirits. Not if Peter was able. Jesus said, well, did Jesus mean that when he said, Pastor, did he mean it? Was he just playing with, did he mean it when he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan? And Peter didn't say, did he call me a devil? No, wait a minute. He didn't go on too far. Now, wait a minute. No. I'm going to show you. This is where I'm coming from right here. Oh, you in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Do you see it? I have not what? Shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. This is what I'm giving you, counsel. Now here it is. How many times have we seen this word? verse 28. Take heed. Same thing. Watch. I'm warning you. I'm sounding the alarm. This is in my Bible, people. He said, take heed, watch, therefore unto yourself. I can get a wolf spirit. My gracious. See, I'm not immune from it. I can get a wolf spirit. And then the whole motivation is fleece the flock. See, we are God's people. It's not y'all or the sheep. I'm the lead sheep. I always said, all we like sheep. All we like sheep. I'm one of you. I need a shepherd. I need Jesus. And when I come to the place that I'm above you and I think I'm above this fray, I'm already been demonized. Oh, we like sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, 25. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray, but we have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Oh, watch this, Jesse. You know, Elder Burden has been with me for years. You know where I met him? It was in the church that I got licensed with. And I'm not going to go deep into that. I still got the key to the pastors, to the church today. We're still on good time. Not one member, when I started this church, when God had us to start this church, not even Elder Burden, not one member. And I won't mention the church, but not one. You're here. You can testify. Not one member. We didn't start with not one member of that church. Not even Elder Burden. He was married. His wife passed away 4 years, I believe. 3 years, 3 to 4 years, maybe a little longer. Then Elder Burden came and joined our church. Now see, people, listen. What am I saying? What's good for the gander is good for the geese. The people that we have, two locations now, it didn't start because I elicited other members from that church I was licensed with. Now, people, listen, we go, people have left here to go other places. And man, here's my attitude. Please don't, oh God, please help me that you don't think that I'm prideful with this because I'm not. Trying to convey to you, forgive me if I sound like it, whatever I sound. Forgive me because I'm not trying to be prideful. But listen, that door works both ways. I didn't put a gun in nobody's head to make them come in. And I don't put a gun up on your head to make you stay. All of we are God's sheep. Now listen to me. The moment that you can't be fed here, you need to get up out of here and go. You need to go somewhere where you can be fed. Because Jesus is not interested in my ego. And I pray that I keep going down, mother, and humbling myself. Because he's not interested in my ego. And he's not patting me on the back and saying, well, you know, I'm going to keep people coming to your church and you're not going to feed them. He said, I'm going to give you shepherds after my own heart who shall feed you and teach you with knowledge and with understanding so that you may grow, so that you may increase, and so that you may multiply. He said, Nate Holcomb, your job is to multiply the people. It's to impart vision into the people where they can have their own businesses, where they can, and so forth and so on, where they can dream, where visions and things can come to pass. Please hear what I'm saying to you. I'm not threatened. I am not threatened by another church, by another pastor, by no member in terms of starting whatever they start, whatever they do. Praise the Lord. I help you do it. And I really mean this. But what am I saying? I'm saying, yes, people will, listen, people will leave here and go to another church and be fed. People will come from other churches and come here. We have on an average Sunday morning, and you are members of this church, 43, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 48, week before, 43, last week, 30-something people that joined the church. and the mass of the people that come to that altar, they give their lives to Jesus Christ. And we have, sure you have people that come from other places. But I'm talking about, this is my point. My point is, if a church is not feeding you, you don't sit there and complain and grumble and mumble against the man or the woman of God and talk against them and touch God's anointing. You get the hell out of there. That's what you do. You get out of there. That's what you do. You don't let the devil allow you to bring that hell in that church. That's what you do. You go somewhere where you can trust in the shepherd. You go somewhere where you can follow the shepherd. You go somewhere where you can be fed by the shepherd. And if you can't, then you don't have no business in that church. Because that's not God. That's not God for a person to sit up there and grumble and mumble in the house of God and don't even know you're being used by the enemy with the murmuring and complaining and the whining and the crying and the arguing and the fussing and the fighting. Always be on the right side of every issue in the church. And the right side is make sure you're on your pastor's side. And if the pastor is wrong, get up out of there. If the pastor's not right, why are you in the church? Man, I'm preaching sound doctrine. I said, if the pastor's not right, if he's blind, then Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind. If you are not blind and you can see that he's blind, then get out of there. Don't follow a blind leader. Get up out of there. But whatever you do, don't stand there and talk against him and talk about it. You damn your own self. And I'm not talking about in a necklace. I'm not using profanity. But I'm talking about damnation. That's what the Bible says. You damn your own house. You get out of there. Get in a place where you feel safe. Get in a place where you feel that this is the house of God, that I can worship God. I can worship him in spirit and in truth. If you can't do it there, get to somewhere where you can do it. All right, I'm getting to close. Y'all done got me riled up. I'm almost through. I'm almost through. Talk about the church. My church is just, I'm telling you what we're going to do. It's just cold in that place, dead in that place. It is dead, dead, dead. Oh, just pray for my church. Then why would you be in somewhere that's dead? That's right. As much as I love Elder Chisholm, Leon Chisholm, and I've been in there, you know, in terms of that. But that's a funeral home. I'm not going to spend all my time. I'm not. Now, I done been in there and prayed and everything, and we laid hands. But I'm not going to spend my time in the funeral home with a bunch of corpses in there. Everybody raise your hand, lift your hand and praise him. Praise the Lord. Ain't nobody going to praise the Lord in a dead place. And yet we're in a dead church. All right, I'm closing. Are you in Acts chapter 20? Take heed therefore unto yourself, Nate Holcomb, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer to feed the church of God. Now, this is powerful right here. Let me just pause just for a moment and throw this in. Where he says, the Holy Ghost has made you what? Overseers. In the Greek, that's the word episcopal, or where we get bishop. See, the twofold ministry of a true shepherd is, watch this now, is shepherd and bishop. Say it, shepherd and bishop. See, remember when the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall, his rod and his staff. See, the staff represents the shepherd. The rod represents the bishop. His rod and his staff. Say it. His rod and his staff. See, that's the twofold ministry. The shepherd's mantle is to feed you and teach you. The bishop's mantle is to correct you and instruct you. that you may be thoroughly furnished and prepared for whatever the Lord would have you to do. So he says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. You belong to him. Here it is, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall, what's that? Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. All right, I already dealt with that. Look at this. Verse 30. Also of your own selves. See, you got wolves, Pastor, that comes from the outside in, but then you got some who are in, and they shall up your own self. What's the problem? It's the soul. Soul independence of your own selves. People that you know, he says, of your own, is that in your Bible? Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. For what purpose? To draw away disciples after them. Verse 31, therefore watch. That's the potter's ministry. They rise to draw away disciples. To draw, not keep them in the fold, but to draw them away. He said, of your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse to draw away disciples after them. After them. After them. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I'm almost through. I don't want to make it a two-part, so this is it. I'm almost through. Every one of you need to get this. Listen to this. Keep this in your library. Faith come by hearing. Of your own selves. People will rise up and not with the program. Not with the program. And it's like the chameleon. I'm on this horse now. And it's like the chameleon. They change colors. It's like the chameleon. They blend. And when I say change colors, the inconsistency. Every 3-4 months, you're in something different. In other words, if God told you to do something, one of two things, everything has a season then. So maybe that season is up. Then you don't do it no more. If the season's up, then it's up. You don't do it no more. The other thing is, if God told you to do this, then somebody's lying, as Isaiah Reed said. Is God lying?
No.
Somebody lying. If God told you to do it today, and just because you don't get the gathering or the crowd, you're doing something else tomorrow. I thought God told you to do that 3 months ago. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm doing this now. The Lord also wants me to do this. Well, what happened to that? It's still there. Yeah. Like the chameleon, they just change. In the jungle, the snake-like lizard, when it's all green, it's green. When the foliage change and it's brown, it's just, I thought you was green. I thought it was green. But the chameleon, you change. Don't get upset with me. Don't get upset with me. Fall upon the rock and experience brokenness. Because listen to me. I promise you this. Whatever I'm talking about tonight, if the shoe fits your foot, I promise you this, God's been telling you, but you won't listen. And so God says, therefore, I'll put your business in the street. And see, here's the thing too. Here's how this thing works. We'll rise to draw away disciples after themselves. A part of this, and there's a lion spirit. Because if I don't okay it from the pool, everything we do, this coming Sunday, we lay hands on you. But people say, well, you know what? The bishop has okayed this. Pastor Valerie, yeah. See, a person can come and say, this is how it goes. You think I'm a fool? I've been doing this for 30 years. People come up and say, Bishop, I got a thing. So pray with me. Pray with me about this. I can pray with God told me to do this. Can you pray God's blessings on me? God, I want you to bless them. Next thing you know, Bishop endorsed me. You know, Bishop counsel me on this, pray with me about this, endorse me on this. Oh yeah, Bishop know that yeah. Bishop know that I'm doing this and so therefore you can do it with me. See, and one of the things I already said was this. Listen, you can do whatever you want in this church in terms of whatever the Lord's calling you to do. Don't tell nobody I endorse nothing if I haven't endorsed it. Now, if I haven't said this, I can say publicly what I say privately. I always tell you that. And if you still go on and do what you want to do, then you leave me no alternative. And I've already told you that. If you involve my name and put me in something, I'm going to put your business in the street.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I would be wrong if I said all this and I haven't said it privately. I don't play these games. I try to be the shepherd that God has. I don't play these games. He says in chapter 13. I feel that you're saying, man, when is this going to be over? In another minute, give me 2 minutes, you'll be out of here. I feel you. Give me 2 or 3 minutes, not even 5, just 2 or 3 minutes, I'll have you out. All right, listen to what he says in verse 17, listen to it now. Obey them that have, because this is how you get it out. I would be wrong to tell you that we got something then you can't get it out. This is how you get it out. This is how you get any kind of wolf out of your house. And this is how I get the wolf out of me if I got him in me. Obey them that have the rule over you, not overrule you. This is in your Bible. It doesn't say obey them that overrules you. See, the overrule is different from that have the rule over you. What rule do I have over you? Show the house. Show them the word. Teach them the word. See, I can't overrule you. To overrule you is to tell you, no, this is what you're going to do. You're going to marry her, marry him. Uh-uh. I don't have the authority to do that. And to overrule you is to have this kind of spirit. If I come to your house, if the rule of the house, see, you got rules in your house. If your rule in your house, mothers, take the shoes off when you get in the house. I'm the bishop. I don't take my shoes off in my house. I ain't going to take my... Well, you're not in your house, bishop. You're in my house. And the rule is take the shoes off. So I take my shoes off. I'm submitted and subject to the rule of whatever the house is. If I come to Walmart and the rule is, watch it, and the rule is, yes, you can return items that you purchased, but you need your receipt. And if I bought something from this counter and I turn right back around and say, I don't want it, and I go to the counter and say, give me my money back. The counter person does not have the authority to give me that money back. What they tell me is go to the customer service. Now, suppose I say, I'm the bishop. I don't go to no customer service. Give me my money's right there. I got my money marked. You still go to the customer service or you go to jail, whichever one you want to go to. Are y'all hearing me? See, we don't overrule, we rule over, meaning the rule is the word of God. Are y'all there? He said, obey them that have the rule over the word over you and submit yourself. Why? for they watch for your soul's independence. As they that must give an account, that they can do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A soul independence. And last, the last verse. Ezekiel, turn please, quickly. Go back there, Ezekiel. This is the last verse. You've been kind. Ezekiel 20. See, I'm going next week. I really wanted to preach this Sunday. I wanted the whole church to hear. Well, really, I wanted the whole church. This is not the church, the whole church. So I need y'all to pass this on, okay? Alvin, your wife, Ramona, I take her everywhere we go. Boy, we hear her on every tape. Ramona encourages me. Praise the Lord. See, because let me tell you something. As I'm getting ready to read this, see, a wolf, if you study the wolf, a wolf is not fast. A wolf cannot outrun the average prey that he catches. He can't, or she can't. The wolf is not fast. The wolf can run long. And even though the other animals are fast, but they run out of gas. And the wolf is still on the trail. So a wolf can stay in the church for a long time. A wolf knows how to just lay low and stay in the church and just keep. It's not fast, but I'm going to last. I'm going to stay in there. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? See, a wolf can last. It's not fast. Study it. But they can last. And when the prey gives out, that's when the wolf says, I got you. And remember what he says. He catched them. See, he lasts long. Okay, here's how to get it out. How do you get it out? Obey them. Now, here it is. Verse 37 of 20. Ezekiel 20. Are you there? Ezekiel 20, are you there?
Yeah.
You've been very kind to me tonight, and thank you very much. Joe, how long have I preached tonight? Huh? Whew, ashamed of myself. Not really. All right, verse 37. Listen to it, verse 37. Start with verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, will I not overrule, but what? Rule over you. Now here it is, verse 37. This will be closed, I promise you. Verse 37. And I will cause you, see, this is how you get it out. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. See, that's the bishop's rod. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out from among you the rebels. Or a rebellious heart. A rebellious spirit. How do you get it out? He says you got to pass under the rod. And I'll bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels. And them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn and where they shall not enter into the land of Israel or the promised land of God. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So how do we get it out, church? He says you pass, watch this now, pass under the rod, Karen. And see, this is how it was. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Remember what Jesus said, that he leads his flock out, brings them in. And this is the point here, Dr. Krull. The shepherd, this is how you get it out. We have to obey them that have the rule over us. That's the translation. But this, in essence, when we do that, this is what God is saying. He says, all right, the shepherd takes the rod and he holds it out. And he calls his sheep out. He calls them out. The shepherd knows the sheep. And when the sheep comes out, William, this is what they do. They come out, mother. And when the rod is there, the sheep go under the rod. Under the rod. And then one of the sheep jumps over the rod. And when he jumps over the rod, the shepherd takes him and cracks his legs and sends him back. And if he jumps again, he cracks his leg. Till finally, the shepherd has to break his legs. Because, see, the thing is, if he jumps over the ride, then the sheep after him jumps over the ride. And then the next sheep jumps over the ride. And, see, and that sheep, he said, no, I already got a lead sheep. And the lead sheep went under the ride. The lead sheep went under the ride. And everybody else went under the ride. But then that sheep that jumped